Well, Psalm 23 tells us that he leadeth us beside still waters, and he's our Lord, he's our guide, and I'm glad he is the one that leads us and helps us. And so many times we falter at his leadership, but he still is our leader, and he takes care of his people. Tonight, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 4. It hadn't been too long, a few weeks back, that we were in Acts chapter 4 and read some of these same verses, but I wanted to look at one particular verse tonight and think about what happens when we are considered to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4, we have the persecution, and we'll maybe look at that a little bit, and then Peter, they are before the Sanhedrin, or that ruling council of the Jews, and Peter stands and preaches to them, gives them a message that is a message that I'm sure sears their heart and makes them to realize that Peter's very bold in his speech. He tells them some of the history of what took place. The Bible says in verse number 8 that Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he said unto them, and from that point on, he began to preach to them what they were and what they had done and how that the Lord was going to take care of them. But when we come to verse 13, that's pretty much what we'll only read tonight here as we start. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." I guess one of the best compliments that someone might could tell you or to tell about you is that they recognize that we've been with the Lord, that we have a fellowship, that we have not only just a relationship, but we have a fellowship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight I want us just to examine that statement here concerning Peter and John. Says they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And tonight we certainly realize what the Lord has has done for us and what he has blessed us with in our personal life, what he's done for us. The scripture says that he has taken us out of out of darkness and has placed us into the glorious gospel light of Jesus Christ. I'm glad there was a day in my life and a day in your life as a believer that all of a sudden the light shone through to us and we realized what a dark individual we were and the darkness that was in our heart. So the Lord has brought us out of that darkness and he has placed us into his glorious light. He has brought us from death. The scripture says we're dead in sins and trespasses, and he has brought us into life. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the more we think about what Christ has done for us, the more we'll realize what a blessing it is to be a Christian and how it should affect our personal walk with God and our personal life with the Lord, that others might see Christ living in and through us. He has brought us out of the dungeon of the chains of sin, and he's given us liberty, he's given us freedom, he's given us the ability to go from this life to heaven, and don't have to depend on what we do or somebody else does, but he's given us the ability to go to heaven because of what he did for us, taking us out of the dungeon of sin. He has brought us out from where the devil had control of us, and he's brought us to the Lord. God has done those things for you and I. He has taken us from discouragement, and he's given us joy in our heart. And so those things that happened to Peter and John and these men that were so filled with anger against them, they perceived, they realized, they noticed that Jesus had made a difference in their life. They didn't agree with it. They didn't adhere to it. But they noted that those men had been with the Lord. And so the Lord certainly had a testimony of men around him. And even after the ascension of Christ, there in Acts chapter number 1, here we come into chapter number 3 and 4. You'll find in chapter 2, the Spirit of God has come down, filled the church. has literally immersed the church in the Holy Spirit, giving it the power to go into all the world and preach the gospel as the commission tells us to do. And now the persecution starts. The problems begin. And as they are serving the Lord, they are taken. They're taken prisoner and they're put in jail. And Peter stands before them in defense. And they realized that man that they called Jesus had made an influence in their life. Now, Peter and John, they were just ordinary men. And when you've been with the Lord, it's going to change your life. It's going to be something that others would recognize something has taken place. These things that was given to them, showed unto them, they believed the Lord with all their heart. They accepted the Word of God. They accepted the the message and the mission that the Lord had given them, even in the midst of a persecution and trial and even threat of death. They were willing to go through all that because their lives had been changed. Their livelihood had been changed. John and Peter were just ordinary men. They were common men. I'm sure they worked hard at making a living, and they're very busy as fishermen, but they were not educated. They didn't have the schooling that some people had. They didn't have the education. They were untrained. They didn't have a lot of influence. They didn't have a lot of power. But they were able, through their words, to transform lives. Here we are 2,000 years after they lived, and we still talk about Peter, James, and John, and all the other disciples that were following the Lord Jesus Christ. And so even though they were unlearned, even though those around them recognized they did not have the education maybe that others had, they recognized that the Lord had made a difference in their life. The Lord had changed them so drastically in the things that they did. They were able to make a difference in their world. And I believe you and I can make a difference in our world. I believe we can do things that people would know we love the Lord, that we trust God, we desire His blessings upon us, and we can literally transform some folks around us. These men that are here under persecution, they were able to make a difference not only in their world, but they were able to make a difference in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven, because they had been with the Lord and their lives showed that their lives had been changed. To meet Jesus Christ means a change. As I've said so many times, when a person does not change in their life, and they can claim Christianity, they can claim all they want to claim, but when there's no change that takes place in their life after their salvation, then there's something wrong. There's a problem. There's a spiritual need that is there. Because when we meet the Lord, it'll change our life. I've heard people say, well, I met such and such person, and their influence changed my life completely. I've heard preachers say that they were under other preachers and they were changed because of the influence of that spiritual mentor that they had. And certainly we all have people that we look to. We all have those that we think about and try to get their commendation and recommendation and try to get their help. But to meet an individual and for our life to be changed, how sad it is to say we've met the Lord and nothing changes. Because He is the creator of the world. He's our Lord. He is our Savior. So if we've been with the Lord, our lives will be changed. If we have met Jesus Christ, then old things, Paul tells us in Corinthians, old things are passed away and all things have become new. We have a new life. We have a new way. We have a new heart. Have a new song. Everything about us is new when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Our courage becomes new. Our courage becomes much stronger. And so this Sanhedrin and these men that put them into the cell, when they heard Peter preach to them, it says they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Now we don't hear much about John here in this passage. It's Peter that's doing the preaching. But they perceived that Peter and John were very bold in their witness and in their preaching to them. And they recognized Peter and John, they don't have the education that others have. They don't have the influence that others might have. They don't have power with people. But we know one thing. The Lord has made a difference in their life. The Lord has changed them, and they perceived, they understood that they had been with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is first generation Christianity. We're a long ways down the road from that. A generation after generation has passed, and we have not handled the Lord like John did and like those disciples. We have not seen Him. We have not heard His voice. We have not seen the miracles. All that we have is a book that tells us about it. But that book is the living Word of God that we have, and therefore points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And men and women around us ought to perceive that we have met the Lord. They ought to see a difference in our life. I believe we ought to act different, do different, talk different. Everything ought to be different because we have been and we have met the Lord Jesus Christ. And so these men that had heard the preaching, they perceived that there's something different about Peter and John. They saw their boldness. Not only will we have a change in our life, but secondly, when we've been with the Lord, there will be a compassionate heart. I've never seen so many people today that have no compassion at all. And they call themselves Christians. They do not care about anybody else except number one. The scripture here tells us, if you look in chapter 3, you'll find that there was a man that was lame and he was healed because they looked up on him. Notice verse number 1 says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, that being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them." Here they are. Here's a man that's a beggar. He needs something, and he calls out to have alms to be given. And Peter looks at him and says, you look at us. And this man said, "Well, I've got somebody here that's going to help me." Notice the words here that they said. Peter said, "Silver," verse 6, "silver and gold have I none." Can you imagine how that man that was asking for an alms, what he thought? He was begging. He was asking for money. And Peter says, "You look on us." And immediately his attention is drawn to them. And the first words out of Peter's mouth, he said, "We don't have any money. We don't have any alms to give. We don't have any money to bestow upon you." And so I'm sure his heart was no longer rejoicing. But Peter goes on. He doesn't stop there. He says, "But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I'm sure when that man heard that, he said, "They don't need silver, they don't need gold. In the name of Jesus Christ, they've told me to rise up and walk." And he took him, verse 7, he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Notice verse 9, and all the people saw him. All the people, they recognized, they had just passed him also. They had heard the begging. They had heard the asking. And they had passed him by. And Peter said, "I don't have any silver and I don't have any gold, but such as I have." You see, remember, they've been with the Lord. He says, "Such as I have, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus of Nazareth." Now, Peter not only told him that, but Peter took his hand, helped him up, and the rest of the story is before us. And so we find here that when somebody's been with the Lord Jesus Christ, we do have compassion for those that maybe do not have. Somebody says, well, if I give this person that, they may go do this and they'll go do that with it. They may go buy their liquor. They may go buy their cigarettes. They may go. So I just don't give them anything. Well, sometimes they really do need it, and God can bless us for giving. And I've always felt that if I do it in the right spirit, the right heart, God blesses my giving, not necessarily their spending. And so we find that Peter and John, they are going to pray. They're going to a good place. They're going to the house of God. They're going to the temple. And here the beggar is waiting and asking for some money. And so they go there. And this man had been crippled. If we go ahead and read, he's been crippled for 40 years. So everybody knew this man. He wasn't some fly-by-night that had set up his stand on the side of the road last night. He's not somebody that nobody knew. They knew him without any shadow of a doubt. And they see him when he goes into the temple. He goes with them into the temple. And he doesn't just walk in with them. He's praising the Lord. He's leaping, something he hasn't done in any of his life. He's walking, something he hasn't done in those 40 years. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he who had set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as a lame man which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them, and the porch is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel at this? And Peter again, now he begins to give them a message. Peter's the preacher. I think it was Sunday or Sunday night, the first 9 or 10 chapters of the book of Acts, it's centered around, I believe, the Apostle Peter, and the actions and the words and the messages that he preached. And here he tells them, and he says, you ought to understand. You're in the temple. You ought to understand. Why are you amazed? Why do you marvel at this? Why should you earnestly look on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man walk? Peter said, don't look at us. We had nothing. We were used of God. You know why? They'd been with the Lord. And therefore they saw this man, they heard his call, and they responded to that. Peter and John could have sidestepped him and ignored him like so many others that were already inside. They had already gone by him. But Peter and John had been with the Lord. They had had an experience with the Lord, and it made them compassionate on somebody else. It doesn't matter what you see in your own life, there's always somebody that has it worse. There's always somebody that has more need than maybe you might have or I might have. Doesn't matter what it might be, there's always somebody that has greater needs. They had witnessed this man coming day by day. They had sidestepped him as he asked for alms, as he asked for a handout. They had witnessed everything that he had done, and they had no compassion on him because they were not able to do it. But here's two men, Peter and John, and they come, and Peter says, we don't have any money, but I can give you life. I can give you ability to walk. I can give you that which money cannot buy. Oh, salvation is such a great thing. Being with the Lord is such a wonderful thing. It's not anything that money can purchase with. It's something that can be provided for us only through a miracle. And salvation is that miracle. And I believe if you and I have been with the Lord, we'll try our best. There's multitudes out there tonight that are sitting by the wayside, and they're crippled. Spiritually, they have no means. Spiritually, they have no ability. They cannot do it upon their own. And we can't do it for them, but we can sure present them the Lord Jesus Christ and show them the way, the truth, and the life. So if we've been with the Lord, our lives are changed. If our lives are changed, our actions are changed, and our hearts are changed, and compassion comes upon us, and we rejoice in the Lord, and we have the ability to help people with the needs spiritually that they have, because we have the Lord living in our heart. We have the Word of God that is before us. So if we've been with the Lord, we certainly can live a changed life and live a compassionate life. Now, we ought not to ever get compassion to be interfered or to be misunderstood that we have no courage. Just because we love someone, just because we care about someone, doesn't mean that we're weak. And these men, as they have been with the Lord, in chapter 4, the persecution comes. In chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, "And as they speak unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them." So here they are in the temple. This man is leaping and praising. He's honoring the Lord for what has happened. The whole crowd knows who he is, knows that something has taken place. But here comes the religious crowd. And by the way, religion always is interfering with the works of God. Religion has always been interference with the things of the Lord. And so as they speak to the people, and as Peter deals with this that we read there in chapter 3, here comes the priest, here comes the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees. And they come upon Peter and John, and they were grieved that they preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. You know what the message of Peter and John was? It's the same message we have tonight. Without the resurrection, we have nothing. Without the resurrection, we have no salvation. We have no Lord. And so here comes the priest. Here comes the captain of the guard there at the temple, a religious man. And here comes the Sadducees. Well, they were upset because they preached on the resurrection. If you study the Sadducees, they believed in no resurrection. Their doctrine was a very liberal, anti-establishment, anti-Christian, Jewish religion. They did not accept the resurrection of the dead. And so that surely would upset them when they heard what Peter and John were preaching. Somebody says the Sadducees were sad, you see. They did not have any ability. They did not have any understanding. They did not have anything in connection with the worship of the Lord. And so here they come, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. It was in the late evening, maybe about like what today is right now. Peter and John's talking to them there in the temple, giving them the abundance of the Word of God. They come upon them, they took hold of them, and the Scripture says here, they laid hands on them, and they put them in hold, put them in jail until the next day because they didn't want to fool with it during the night. Notice verse 4. "Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed." Praise the Lord. When those in the temple, when they heard what had happened, when they saw the honor that the Lord had given this man in changing his heart, when they saw that these men had compassion upon him, the Bible says many of them which heard the word believed. By the way, to believe you have to hear the word. For faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And the number of the men, about 5,000. It wasn't no little gathering. The message, the gospel, the message of this man being able to walk and the miracle that had been accomplished through all those that city of Jerusalem, multitudes had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And these men had been with Jesus. They had been changed, they had been compassionate, but they had courage. They had courage enough to stand against the authorities. They had courage enough to stand against the Sadducees, that religious group. You have the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were at odds against each other until it came to the crucifixion of the Lord. Then they joined forces to try to destroy the life of Jesus Christ. That's religion. So they had seen all that, and about 5,000 men got saved. That's first century Christianity. That's just being with the Lord and making a difference in the lives of people. So these men were taken hold of. The Bible says they laid hands on them. I can guarantee you they didn't say, "Now, come on, fellas, you walk with us. We'll go to jail." No, they laid hands on them. They caught them. They grabbed them. And they put them in jail. They put them in hold until the next day. So they spent the night in jail. Why? Because one man had the ability to walk that had not walked in 40 years. And so we find they put them in jail, and they are courageous for preaching the gospel. I've got two or three things here that's historically, I'm not going to read it all. I've got it in my notes just so I can have it. But there's a man by the name of John Bunyan. He lived in England years ago. Wrote one of the greatest Christian literary stories that's ever been written, Pilgrim's Progress. He wrote that when he was in prison. He is put in prison, he's put in jail, because he was a little bit different in his style than everybody else was. He would go to the fields, he would go to the barns, he would go wherever people would gather, and he would preach unto them the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would preach in the open air, and the Anglican church was in power at that time over all the religious, and they certainly did not like this nonconformist preacher. And so he's put in jail simply for preaching the Word of God. They told him he could get out if he would just relinquish his preaching, and he would not. And he spends 12 years in prison. And while he's in prison, he writes Pilgrim's Progress. If you're a student here, you've read that. And if you have not read it, you ought to read it. It's a story that he writes while he's in prison about a man named Christian. And there's a city. And he writes it in comparison. So John Bunyan, he had courage. All he had to do was say, "I'll not preach anymore." But he told him, he said, "You haven't called me, and you're not going to stop me." And he spent most of his life in prison. After 12 years in prison, he was released for a short time, but he was rearrested for nonconformity. He just wasn't going to conform to the world. In those long years of prison, he wrote Pilgrim's Progress with several other books. I have a book with much of his writings in it. In the early 1900s, there was a Boxer Rebellion in the country of China. And I'll just read part of this. The insurgents captured a mission station and blocked all the gates but one. In front of the one gate was placed a cross flat on the ground. Then the word was passed to those inside that any who trampled the cross underfoot would be permitted their freedom and life, but those that refused would be shot. Terribly frightened, the first seven students trampled the cross under their feet and were allowed to go free. But the eighth, a student, a young girl, she refused to commit that to her sacrilegious act. Kneeling beside the cross in prayer for strength, she arose and moved carefully around the cross and went out to face the firing squad. Strengthened by her example, every one of the remaining 92 students followed her to their death. Courage to live for the Lord. I mentioned last Sunday, Adoniram Judson. Courage. He was going to go as a missionary, wanted to go to India, but he ended up in Burma because he could not get in. And the history books tell us. He would spend 38 years in Burma. He lost his only child. His wife became so ill she had to go back to England and much hardship. And they would bury him, buried the son when he was eight years old. He was imprisoned as a British spy, spent 21 months in jail. After 1 year, no converts. After 2 years, no converts. After 5 years, not one Christian. He goes to Burma, not one Christian in the whole nation that was known. He's there 5, 6, 7, 8 years. 6 years before not one person was saved. And he writes in his journal, "Every time I see a ship set sail for home, I want to jump on board and go with it." Why did he not go? I'll tell you why. He'd been with the Lord. He knew what God wanted him to do. When Judson arrived in Burma, not one Christian. 6 years, one person had gotten saved. I don't know if I would have been able to stay or not. I'd have probably jumped on board. But after his death, a government survey recorded that there was over 210,000 Christians in Burma. Brother Downs is in Thailand, and that's next door to Burma. And it's been over 100 and probably 150 years, maybe even more than that. And there are still people there in Burma that say they got saved and they're a Christian because their grandparents heard the gospel through somebody that got saved out of Adoniram Judson's ministry. Was he a success in the world's eyes? No. Did he have courage? Yes. Did he have stamina? Yes. Does he have the blessing of God? Yes. And books and books and books have been written about his life history. Wonderful books. How he lived for God, how he served God. You know why he could do that? Because he'd been with Jesus. And then lastly, if you've been with the Lord, he not only gives you a changed life, he not only gives you compassion, he not only gives you courage, he not only gives you commitment to do the work, but thank God one day he's going to give us the ability to be carried away. We're going home. And there we receive our rewards done in our body. The world may never know us, but they ought to at least understand and take note that we've been with Jesus. They may never write about us. They may never remember us after we draw our last breath and we're gone and another generation comes up. We may be forgotten. I've been on history tours and we set up monuments of these folks that serve God and they have just a little old stone there to mark their grave. And we set up monuments that the world would know here lies an individual that had been with Jesus Christ. May God help us that they would perceive that we've been with the Lord. That's the number one thing in our life that would be a blessing and a help and encouragement to others. Let's stand together tonight.